I said at the beginning that on Saturdays we honor Our Lady. This is a Marian shrine. But that there is also a saint being honored today for the first time in the universal calendar. His name is Saint Gregory of Narek. Narek. I don't know if Narek still exists, but it was in the nation known as Armenia. Perhaps Narek the city still exists. Armenia is somewhere in eastern Turkey, I think. My geography might be a little bit weak there. But St. Gregory of Narek was a monk, a mystic, abbot, about 1,000 years ago in Armenia. And he was recently named a doctor of the church. So he's an expert in living the Christian life and in teaching us how to live the Christian life. So we honor him as one of the great saints, even though we don't know him. His feast day has just been added. In fact, it was just a couple of weeks ago that Pope Francis said this feast day should be put on the calendar of the church, the universal calendar of the church. So this is the first time that we have the feast of St. Gregory of Narek. The Armenians embraced Christianity very, very early, even before the Roman Empire was allowed Christianity, before Constantine. The Armenians embraced Christianity. So early 4th century, St. Gregory represents what some have called the flowering of Armenian culture and language. He was a poet also. And he lived, so if the Armenians became Christians in 300, let's say, and he lived in 1,700 years of Christianity there, well, about 100 years ago, the Armenians were practically wiped out by a brutal persecution. And so that's why we don't hear about Armenians so much anymore. But you can see why the Pope may have thought it's important to honor St. Gregory, because to honor the memory of this ancient Christian nation. It's part of the richness of our history, it's part of the richness of the liturgy, and also the peculiar nature of how God calls people and how he works with people. Well, that peculiar quality of our relationship with God is brought out in today's readings. So let's turn to the readings. These are challenging readings, especially the Gospel. The Gospel where Jesus gives us the commandment not to love our neighbor and hate our enemy, but to love our enemy. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. One of the challenging statements of Jesus, there is no getting around the challenge of the faith, challenge of being Christian. It's not easy. And Jesus certainly is not afraid to place challenges before us, not to discourage us, but to show us how to go beyond what is our natural capacity. He wants us to mature and even transcend what we could do on our own. Who can love his enemies? If it sounds so strange to us, we don't even think it's a good idea. Well, before we get to loving enemies, let's look at God loving us first. In the first reading, this is what's clear. God chose his people. God gave a way of life to his people. And Moses is telling the people, look, this is the gift you have received. God chose you to be a people peculiarly his own. All religions have rules, moral rules. All religions have rituals and prayers. All religions have some ideas about God. But this is, our religion has a peculiar quality, and that is the relationship that we have with God. starts with the Jews, but we are in the same tradition where God reveals not only what we're supposed to do, but how we are to relate to Him in a friendship or a marriage. Other religions don't have that. Other religions, they honor their gods. Maybe they fear their gods, or they respect their gods, or they might be afraid of their gods, but nobody thinks of themselves, no other religions think of God as being married to them, or being close to them, or inviting them into a friendship with them. See, God says, here are the statutes, here are the commandments, but then He says, you're making this agreement with the Lord, this covenant with the Lord. He is to be your God, and you are to walk in His ways. He's not just follow His rules. Be like Him. Be like Him. Walk in His ways. Do things the way He does. Observe His statutes, commandments, and decrees, and hearken to His voice. So God is peculiarly ours, and we are peculiarly His. That's why the best analogy for this relationship is really marriage. Marriage is exclusive, it's peculiar. You can only marry one person, and that one person becomes everything. One, the two become one. So God wants us to be one with Him. This choice of love, this covenant of love, is the foundation for everything else. God has chosen us. God loves us. God wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be perfect, holy, happy with Him. That's peculiar. Beautiful. Astonishing, but also peculiar. Now, when we take this foundation and we start to build on it, well, God starts to build us up on this foundation, then we get to the challenges that we see in the gospel. So the foundation is God loves us. God loves us first. In fact, He chose people who were not particularly lovable. He chose people who were not worthy of being chosen as a bride, people who are not that obedient or good, just chose ordinary sinners and said, I am choosing you. So that's the foundation. That's why the psalm says, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. We're blessed because the Lord has even given us a law to follow. And He loves us even when we don't follow it. Now we turn to the gospel. And we hear Jesus say, you heard this commandment, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's not really the commandment, but that was what people thought, that's about as far as love could possibly go. I mean, it's great to love your neighbor, at least you get along. But the enemies, by definition, we don't love them. Jesus introduces a revolution to that idea. A supernatural revolution. It's not natural to love your enemy. It's not normal human response. This is God's way. So when God chooses us, when He calls us, when He shows us His way, He's giving us a way that we would not have thought of on our own, and we can't follow on our own. The way of love, even love of enemies. It's based on His love for us, His love for His enemies. And then He says, okay, I want you to do things the way I do things. Look at things the way I look at things. See people and relate to people the way I see them and relate to them. How do I treat the good and the evil? Well, I let my sun shine on all of them. I let the rain fall on all of them. I don't withhold my love from anyone. Now, if they don't accept it or receive it, respond to it, I can't do anything about that. But I'm not going to exclude anyone from my love. That's God's way. And he calls us to be like this. Pray for your persecutors. And then this is how he concludes that you may be children of your Heavenly Father. Children of our Heavenly Father. This is our identity, our new identity. We are not simply children of our own parents and of our society and of our culture. We are children of our Heavenly Father. So we do things differently than perhaps our own brothers and sisters or our own society or our own culture might do things. So much so that we will be persecuted. We will have enemies. Look at the Armenians. They rose to a very high point of culture and Christian expression, and then they got wiped out. They were loved, chosen by God. They were persecuted by the world. That's why St. Gregory of Narek is set before us. Did he love his enemies? Yes, he did. All the saints do. What do you think the saints do? They love. Whatever else Gregory of Narek did, now we don't know everything about him, but he certainly put this gospel into practice. He loved. He loved and he prayed. So this is a Lenten challenge for us, to love our enemies. And that's not where we start. We start with God loving us. And once we welcome, let that love settle into us, permeate us, and then we realize, okay, it's certainly possible to love even those who betray us, who harm us, who hate us. It's a good little introduction to tomorrow's liturgy, you know, tomorrow's gospel. You have pondered it already. The Transfiguration. What does the Father say on the mountain of the Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, listen to him. As if to say, see how much I love you. I have sent you my Son. I've sent you the one whom I love. Listen to him. He's going to teach you a new way, my way. The Transfiguration is a peculiar event. It's an expression of God's peculiar love for us, his revelation of his special love for us. This is my beloved Son, and he's with you. He's one of you. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. That's what we'll be celebrating tomorrow, second Sunday of Lent. For now, we welcome the challenge. We admit that we are weak. We are not that good at loving or praying for our persecutors, but we welcome this because it's God's way, and we are his children.